Welcome to the UTG podcast. Understanding the Gospel is an online resource to help people understand how the Gospel of Jesus Christ is lived out. On today's podcast, we want to have a conversation about racism. And it's a subject that many of us are being forced to think about because of the things that have happened recently. And it's important that we do think about these things and from a biblical perspective. So we trust that today's discussion will be a help. Today we're joined by two friends of ours, Pamela Watt, who is living in Inverness. Pamela's originally from South Africa, although when she moved to the UK, we got to know her when she was living in London and she came up to Shetland to help us at the camp. And Richard Burdett, who happens to be my wife's cousin from Northampton, he goes to the Assembly at Osborne Road. And Richard has a weekly Instagram broadcast. And the other week that he was speaking about the subject of racism and said some very helpful things, and I thought it'd be really useful to have his input in this conversation. So welcome to you both.
Hi, good to be here. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for asking me on.
Yeah, hello to you both. Good to be able to speak to you today.
I think it'd be really useful just to get an idea of who you are and what your background is.
I was born in South Africa in the 80s and lived there until 2014. Moved to Scotland because I got married to Craig, who's Scottish, so now I live in Scotland. Been living here since 2014.
Hi, I'm Richard. I'm a graphic designer. My background is a little less interesting than Pamela's. I was born in Northampton and have lived there ever since.
Recently, I was visiting a school and the school took this picture of the class and me at this presentation, and showing a friend of mine this picture, and his comment was, well, that's a very ethnically diverse class. Now, we meant it tongue in cheek because we don't have ethnically diverse classes in Shetland. But for all of us, wherever we live, the issue of racism is something that we need to be able to think about and think about biblically. And ever since the death of George Floyd, that everybody has been caused to confront the whole issue of racism. And that's a good question, and it's a good discussion to have. And even the fact that the footballers recently have taken a knee in solidarity with the whole movement of Black Lives Matter. But although the issues in the UK may not be as bad as they are in the United States, where race relations are really poor, it doesn't mean that there isn't a problem of racism in the UK. And I suppose the first question would be, have either of you experienced racism?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of experience with racism as somebody that was born in Durban in South Africa in the 80s. I was born in a place where basically we were segregated by the color of our skin. So the darker you were, the less things were, less resources were available to you. I was having a chat with my husband recently and just, you know, talking about what it was like for me as a child back in South Africa. I remember when I was 6 years old, 7 years old, we didn't have any running water, we didn't have any electricity. And the majority of the people, I think everybody in the area where I lived, which was a Black area, you didn't have any running water, you didn't have any electricity. So that's just what life was like. If you wanted to withdraw money from the bank, you had to get on a bus or some sort of public transport system and go into town, which would be a white area, in order to withdraw cash, because you didn't have any basic facilities like that. No libraries, no just any basic thing that maybe here in the UK we might even take for granted. We didn't have that in black areas under the apartheid regime. So, yep, I know what racism feels like very much, yeah.
How did things change for you when you came to the UK?
So I came to the UK in 2005. I came over because there was a working holiday scheme on at that time, and my best friend had moved over on a holiday, working holiday visa. And she, so I came over to visit her. And one of the first things I noticed was we were out walking in the countryside with a group of friends, and we would meet people and they would, you know, greet you. And I made a comment to one of my Scottish friends and I said, I've noticed here, it feels so different for me when people meet me. I feel like they really want to know me. They ask me what my name is, and I feel like they don't really like the fact that I'm black as a secondary thing. Whereas back home in South Africa, people usually looked, the first thing people saw was the color of your skin and, you know, what your name was or anything else about you. They didn't really care too much about. Whereas in Scotland, I just felt like people wanted to know me as a person, wanted to know, were really interested in me. Yeah, really interested in me as a person, as opposed to just looking at the color of my skin and deciding to write me off or, you know, have some sort of prejudice against me because I'm black. It's quite refreshing.
The reason why we're having this discussion today on racism is because back on the 25th of May, a man called George Floyd from Minneapolis was killed by, in large, the brutality of a police officer. And the fact that this was filmed and such film has been seen by millions of people all over the world. But this is not the first time that such injustice has been seen. But what do you think about the reaction to this particular incident?
I think it brings up a lot of emotions in me as a black person. Obviously, as somebody who has experienced racism, it makes me sad, makes me angry. But obviously, as a believer, I always have to bring my thoughts captive and under the Lordship of Christ, and just remember that the reason why there is racism is because of sin. And that's what helps. That's what really helps, because if I didn't do that, I would just be overwhelmed, overcome with emotion because of my own experience with racism. So I think about the fact that there is sin in the world and this happened because of sin. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and the gospel is the answer.
So turning to you, Richard, you're obviously a white male from Northampton and haven't been on the receiving end of this kind of racial abuse, but how did you react to the killing of George Floyd?
Well, I thought the video of the incident itself is pretty awful. It's quite sickening to watch. So it's no surprise that there's been a strong emotional reaction to it. I think you'd have to have a heart of stone to not be moved by that clip. But the question I've been asking myself is, how should I respond to this as a Christian? I've spoken to a number of young Christians about this issue recently, and there seems to be a lot of pressure, particularly on social media, to react in the right way to this sort of thing. Because their subject matter is so sensitive and the slogans that are encouraged are so narrow, they're all pre-written, perhaps not particularly useful, and the organisations pushing them are maybe unbiblical in their general worldview. I think Christians can feel quite unsure as to how they ought to respond. Do we just join in and show that we care about these things, or do we do something different? So whilst I would, of course, never condemn anyone for posting anything on social media, that's not a bad thing in itself, I'd really encourage Christians to pray about these issues that they're seeing. I was reminded of what the exiles in Jeremiah's day were told to do. Seek the peace of the city, or I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. So for me, maybe a helpful starter is to ask, where is my response to this event being primarily directed? Is it to my followers on Instagram, or is it to God in prayer?
I actually didn't watch any of the videos that were circulating online just regarding, you know, the actual event, how George Floyd died. I didn't watch that because of the fact that watching that would trigger some things, some how it would make me feel. Because obviously, as I've said, my growing up in South Africa under the apartheid system, and not wanting my emotions to be overwhelmed by emotions, but rather just to think biblically about the whole thing. I think for me, it's been very important to think biblically about the whole issue. And as I said previously, I think the issue is sin. And what has really struck me is, obviously I've seen the people rioting and marching and the rest of it. You can't miss that. It's everywhere when you watch something, media or anything online, it's quite evident, and I can understand why people are upset. But what struck me as a believer was just the fact that there's that going on, you know, people being murdered, but there are also unborn babies being murdered, and it struck me, and I wondered about the reaction of the people that are rioting, because a person, and rightly so, you know, they're expressing obviously the anger, the sadness, all the emotions that accompany that surround that situation. I just wondered about, out of those people, how many would march for unborn babies, because that is murder as well. That really struck me, that George Floyd was murdered, it seems, but there are millions of babies being murdered as well, and it's all as a result of sin.
I think that's a really good point that you make, Pamela, that it doesn't matter whether a person is young or old or whatever the color of their skin is, that all life is precious in God's sight. And it's really the gospel that helps us understand why that is the case, because the Bible explains that we were all created in the image of God, and therefore all human life has a dignity to it and is precious in God's sight. That when life is taken, that is a sin against God. And because it's a sin against God, it's something which is much more offensive to him than it is to any of us. Despite the pain and the grief we feel and experience when we suffer the loss of life. So as we mentioned at the start, that the problems that we have with racism in the United Kingdom may not be the same as in America. But how big a problem is it in the UK?
From my personal experience of it, having lived all my life here, I've maybe not seen that much of it personally, as I can remember. When I was at school, it was quite a ethnically diverse place. I didn't witness a lot of racism, but that's not to say it doesn't exist. That's just my personal experience. But I agree that that racism is just a very particular manifestation of sin. But the world doesn't diagnose the problem in those terms. Instead, we're sort of told that injustice exists primarily at a systematic level, and that the solution to that is politics and social reform. Whilst those things may help if applied correctly, they don't deal with the root issue, which is sin itself, as Pamela has said. Protests and riots are done with the intention of changing systems. We have the gospel, which operates on a very personal level. Through Christ's death and resurrection, God can forgive us of our sin and indwell us with his Holy Spirit, enabling us to live a life that's free from the power of sin. I'm very sceptical of an activism that claims to be for the purpose of social justice, which engages with and defends acts of gross injustice such as looting and violence against the police. We must be consistent with our condemnation of injustice and the methods that we employ to address it.
I think that's a really helpful observation, Richard, that it's all very well to denounce one act of injustice, but it's not consistent if you're actually committing another crime at the same time. And I think it's good for us Christians to be able to kind of identify that level of inconsistency. But in terms of yourself, Pamela, do you think that racism is a big issue in the UK?
Personally, I haven't experienced racism, not blatantly anyway, not that... If I have, I haven't noticed, put it that way. And I've been living in Scotland since 2014, and it hasn't... Yeah, I can't say that I have, which I'm really thankful for. But then, I come from a system where racism was so blatant and just a part of daily life back in South Africa. And it's been quite refreshing living in Scotland, where I haven't felt that way. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm just saying I personally haven't experienced it.
Although as a non-Shetlander living in Shetland, I may experience a degree of cynicism or mistrust. I don't think that what we see in Shetland is racism as such, but I'm conscious that sometimes it's difficult for people to understand what racism actually feels like. But for yourself, Pamela, how does it make you feel when you see the racial injustices that have taken place recently?
Well, even here in Scotland, I do get a little bit concerned when I meet a stranger who is middle-aged and who is white. I do wonder, how will they treat me because of my experience back home?
I think that's really helpful to know, Pamela, because the natural default position for human beings is that if we don't experience any fear or anxiety, then we don't always assume that other people do. So I think that's really kind of helpful to understand that. But when we think about racism in the Bible, is there such a thing as racism in the Bible?
Well, I think that human nature hasn't really changed. I think our world might look superficially different to the times in which the Bible was written, but the people that were living then are really no different to us today. During the early days of the church, one of the most notable divides in society was between the Jews and the Gentiles. And these were group identities based on ethnic and religious differences. And the Apostle Peter, who was a man who was saved and converted, he made the mistake of playing the identity politics games. In Galatians 2, we read of the time when he was in Antioch, and he was quite happy to eat with his fellow believers who happened to be Gentiles. But when certain Jewish people came to Antioch, he withdrew from them and he separated himself from their company, fearing the sort of response that he would get from the other Jews. But Paul describes this behavior as hypocrisy, and he opposes Peter face to face for showing such anti-gospel prejudice. He doesn't deal with it by throwing slogans around, but articulates gospel truth directly to Peter himself, the truth that Jews and Gentiles have been saved by the same principle of faith in Christ and not because of any racial or religious advantage. I think this shows that believers can be susceptible to sinful prejudice and the fear of man, And that the answer to these things is a deeper appreciation of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ.
What about yourself, Pamela, when you're reading the Bible? Do you come across the issue of racism?
Yeah, I do think that people in the Bible did have an issue with racism, just because I think, as Richard has said, it is a human nature, and we have prejudices because of sin. And yeah, the answer is definitely the gospel, because that's what changes hearts. Think of people, if somebody realizes that a person is made in the image of God, we're all made in the image of God, it results you have, it then means you have a level of respect for somebody else. You know they're made in the image of God the same way that you are. And if you fear God, you won't be racist. You can't be racist, because you realize that that person is made in the image of God, like you are.
I think it would be important to recognize the difference that the gospel makes when it comes to the whole issue of racism. I think for me, one of the most striking images is of Steve Saint. Now, his father was one of the five missionaries that were murdered in Ecuador by this tribe of Oka Indians. And in this photo, he's standing with his arm around the very man that murdered his father. And the reason why he could do that was because the gospel made a difference in his life and in the life of this now brother in Christ that he was standing next to. That is what the gospel does. The gospel takes people who are opposed to each other because of race, and it makes them one in Christ. As we think about the importance of giving a priority to the gospel, what does the Bible actually say about other means of campaigning for racial equality? Is it okay to engage in protests or in signing petitions? Was Wilberforce wrong to campaign for the abolition of slavery?
First of all, I think we're all born in a generation that we're born in for a purpose. And I think William Wilberforce was born in that generation in order to serve that generation. And part of his calling was to fight against slavery. And I think God gave him the desire to do that and the ability to do that. And it was right to do that.
Yeah, and we also see a biblical example in the book of Esther. The Jewish people have been condemned to mass genocide according to a racist law devised by Haman. And we see that the Jews at large responded by fasting to God. But Esther was a woman who had a unique level of access to the king. And she pleaded personally on the behalf of her people. And the law was overturned. And it says the words of Mordecai to her in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. He said, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" For most of us, it's unlikely that we'll wield that level of power or influence in this world. It's more likely that we'll be fighting prejudice and racism within our own hearts, as in the case of Peter, or maybe speaking out against it on a personal level, as Paul did with Peter. But it is an encouragement to know that God ordains government for the general good of a nation, and that he is able to raise up individuals such as Wilberforce or Esther when he deems it necessary.
As we come to the close of our discussion today, what do you think are the specific issues that we need to keep before us when we think of this whole subject of racism?
I would say be careful. I would say, yeah, make sure that you think biblically about things. Be careful of who you listen to. Psalm 1 talks about a blessed man, a happy man, that is a person who delights in the law of the Lord. And I think it's very important for young believers to make sure that they are meditating on scripture, that that's what guides their thought life, as opposed to, you know, question things in the light of scripture, if you hear somebody saying something, look at what scripture says and compare. In the light of what scripture says, is what they're saying true? I think, that's the first thing I would say. We need to make sure that we as believers are thinking biblically about issues of life, and the scripture is able to give answers to any problem that life can throw at us, including racism. It's easy, especially in this day and age where you can get on social media and you feel like you are doing your bit by writing something that shows that you're supporting a cause. I think it's far more important to pray about things. Also, I think Psalm 37 verse 8 talks about, it says, do not fret, because it leads to evil. We need to be very careful about fretting about these issues. I think it's important to remember that the judge of all the earth will do right. We live in a fallen world, and one day God will make all things right. We really need to think biblically about issues. I think we need to be careful about that as believers. Particularly as young believers, that's what I would say to.
Yeah, my thoughts on it, having been forced to think about it, I guess, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've just been reminded how God hates injustice and God hates racism. Yeah, as we've already said, God made man in his image. And that's true for every person. We do have superficial differences between us, whether it be age, class, nationality, but fundamentally we're the same. We're all image bearers of God. It grieves God when acts of injustice, such as the one we've seen in America, take place. But I also think it's true what Romans 12 verses 2 says. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think having a biblical approach to things doesn't just apply to the sex, drugs and rock and roll issues of life. It also should influence how we interpret issues like injustice and racism. Biblical diagnosis of these issues is worlds apart from what people think today. And the methods of dealing with it are also radically different. And it's likely that what we see through TV, radio, social media isn't going to agree with the scripture. So we all have the responsibility of looking into God's word for the truth and being established in the truth of the gospel. One of the things I've been thinking in terms of the world's response to racism is that those who claim to be against racism still play the same group identity games. I'm not sure throwing around slogans like Black Lives Matter is particularly helpful. And if the last few days have shown anything from the protests and the counter-protests, it's that a lot of the group identity rhetoric is actually more divisive than it is helpful. Mm-hmm. But when we come to scripture, we're on a solid foundation. And we see in the New Testament, as Paul speaks, he says that there's no longer Jew or Gentile, bond or free, we're all one in Christ. And it's only the gospel that can really deal with these differences and barriers in a way that the world wants to, but just doesn't have the equipment to deal with it.
I think it's been really good that both of you have identified the fact it's the Bible that is the authority when it comes to how we should think and how we should behave on subjects like racism, that the Bible is not silent about this whole issue. It identifies where the issue came from. It's a result of the fall and sin coming into this world, and that what will make the difference is the gospel. The gospel is what changes hearts. And I think I can remember being told by an older Christian that if you want to make a real difference in the world, then focus on the gospel. It's not that it's wrong to sign petitions or to do things, but what will make a real difference in the hearts of men and women and in the lives of people of any nation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, if we focus our energy on praying for people, on witnessing about the gospel, in making the gospel known to our friends, to our neighbours, so that by the preaching of the word of God and the entrance of God's word, that hearts would be changed and that lives would be affected and God would be glorified. So thank you both very much for the time that you've taken. It's been immensely helpful and really interesting to hear what you've both had to say.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alistair, for the, yeah, thanks for having the conversation. It's really helpful. I think we need to have these sort of conversations, and yeah, it's been great, very helpful, very fruitful. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to you both. It's been really interesting to hear things from Pam's perspective, and to draw our thoughts to what the Bible has to say about these issues.
Thank you for everybody who's listened to this conversation today. Trust it's been a help to you, and that you'll be able to join us again for the next UTG podcast. For more conversations like these, or for other gospel-related articles or videos and interviews, then please check out the website, understandingthegospel.org,